Well, as you know, we started talking about releasing your faith. Releasing your faith. In Matthew chapter 8, in verse 26 and following, we see here that Jesus said something to his disciples when they were in a difficult situation. And as you know, we have several accounts of this that are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's the same situation, just different individuals talking about it. But in each case, we can see here that Jesus asked him a question. And this must have been something that was molded into their mind and burned upon their hearts, because they didn't forget it, because they were in a very difficult situation. And so he asked them in verse 26, when they were concerned about their life, "Lord, save us, we perish." He said unto them, "Why are you fearful, O ye a little faith?" O ye a little faith. It's tantamount to having no faith, because when you look at it over in Mark, that's what he says. I mean, why are you so fearful? How come it is you have no faith? That's the way Mark says it. And then when we look in Luke, we say, he says, "Where is your faith?" I mean, it's like you look at somebody sometimes and you say, "Well, do you have faith for this? I mean, where is it at?" I mean, somebody's crying and murmuring and groaning, and they don't seem to have any victory in life. That's a good question to ask, because Jesus did, and I think it's fair for us to be able to do the same thing. But it's a simple question. And Jesus, when asking that question, the way I see it is, he placed the whole situation back upon them. The ability to believe God is in your mind and heart and life. He had taught them, he had showed them what to do and how to exercise their faith, I believe. And here they seem to have a failure in their life. And so we might ask questions ourselves sometimes. Why is it God doesn't hear us? Why isn't this working for me? Maybe we do have questions like that. And we have to remember this, that God gives us the grace, no matter what we're going through, to be able to believe him. No matter the difficulty, the temptation, the hardship, or whatever it might be, we can overcome. There's no question about that whatsoever. But it's a matter of exercising of faith always. And so it's a simple question he asked, and it simply is up to us, because we know that without faith it's impossible to please him. And that makes it a very, very important thing as far as I'm concerned, because faith is a subject that's just been today in the modern society and the pop culture today, there seems to be an undermining of faith, and a lot of preachers and seminaries seem to undermine and question people's faith or tell them not to dare do anything crazy. And I don't think anybody wants to do anything crazy, but at the same time, it's not crazy to believe God if you have faith for it. And so when we looked at this, we know that God invites us to believe him. And we saw last week when we asked a simple question, reasons why faith, we don't release faith. Why is it people don't release faith? And so just briefly, we go back over that and we saw that, well, there are several reasons. One is unbelief. Unbelief is an obstacle in a lot of people's ways. We know that that kept Israel out of getting out of the promised land. There's no argument about that whatsoever. You see it in Hebrews 3, you see it in Jude, in chapter 1 of Jude. Then fear is another thing, which he said to them, "Why are you so fearful?" But the Bible reveals to us progressively a revelation that God wants us to fear not. And he says to us also in the New Testament, God has given us a spirit of fear. And that is something that really is encouraging when you find yourself in a place where you're losing all your courage. You seem to be afraid of the circumstances or afraid of the dark or whatever it is you're in. But God tells you that, you know, you don't have to let that control you. That faith is able to conquer fear, because fear is just really another way of believing, except it's negative. It binds your faith. It causes you to lose everything you've got. And then circumstances is another thing. We look at the circumstances and no doubt, sometimes they can be devastating to our eyesight, but we know that the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And we have to continually remind ourselves of that we walk by faith. And that means that we look at the things that are unseen, and we look to the eternal and to God's Word, because God's Word is eternal and permanent and unchanging. Then we said also guilty feelings is another thing. Is that what we had up there? Those are four things just mentioned that are, and we elaborated on them a bit, that there are things like that can really bind people up. And there's a whole lot of people today in the church overall today that don't know how to get any relief in their life or any peace or any joy or victory, simply because they've never learned to really relate to God and to exercise their faith based upon what God said in his word. They don't believe that God meant what he said, but That's what they have to come to. And then we saw also, as we look again, reasons why we should release our faith. And we had a whole lot of things that we said about that. You know, faith does please God. Without faith, it's impossible. It's not difficult, it's impossible. You're not going to please Him by just running around and trying to figure everything out, moaning and groaning and murmuring and complaining. So He requires it of you. It glorifies God. I mean, every time you release your faith and you believe God, it brings glory to Him. I mean, because God looks down upon His people and He's watching them. He's looking for the faithful. And the person who's faithful is the one whom God honors and watches over and gives the promises to. They're manifested to that individual. It's how we receive the promises. How do you obtain promises? Well, by faith. The problem is maybe a lot of people don't understand that, but that's how we do receive them, because it says that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, by faith they obtained the promises. They obtained them. So faith is a channel by which we are able to reach out beyond time and eternity and grab hold of God and see what He says in His Word and take it for our very own and believe it. And until people understand that, they're never going to get very far as just going to church and saying, I'm a believer, when they really don't believe anything. It's easy to say you're a believer. It's another thing to believe in the things that the Bible says. And a lot of people just don't believe it because they don't believe that God is who He says He is or that God is faithful to His Word. It's how we purify ourselves. It's by faith. We take God's Word as He says it, and we begin to apply it to our life. We begin to break free from idols. We break free from various different things, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We begin to separate ourselves from those things because we believe we should. And as we do that, we find ourselves getting freer and freer and freer. If a person continues to hold on to the remnants of this world in their life, it'll be a great obstacle in being able to trust God and to be a conqueror or to have victory in their life like God promises. And it's also, I mean, it's how, releasing our faith is how we overcome. People talk about, you know, overcoming. We shall overcome. It's easy to sing it. It's easy to say it. It's another thing to exercise that, isn't it? To overcome the devil. To overcome yourself sometimes. To overcome people. To overcome the circumstances. To overcome your difficulties and hardships that you face in life. I mean, it's always something that we have to overcome every day. And if you go by a day that you don't have anything to overcome, God bless you. You must have slept all day. Okay. So releasing your faith is how we also become stable. People who are unstable are people who have not released their faith and really relied on God and seeing God be faithful to His Word and bring a manifestation to them. If you don't believe God and you never receive anything from God, then you're just going to be a wishy-washy, up-and-down Christian the rest of your life. But once you exercise your faith and you receive something from God and you see God has blessed you because you believed Him, it's going to strengthen your faith. And that's what we need to have. And stable faith is stable in the area of the emotions, the mind, and the will. A person's not emotionally unstable. He's not a person who's just mentally, you know, upside down all the time. He's not a person who is vacillating all the time and making different decisions about things. He's not indecisive. He knows what he believes. And there's nothing wrong with that because that's what God wants of all of us. So we really come to another question now, because that's what we're going to deal with, is how does faith come? And I know that all of you know that, but I'm going to tell it to you again. No doubt about it. Now, I said something about how do we exercise our faith, but I'm going to look at how does faith come first. We'll go back to that other later before I deal with that, because I want to expand on this thing of getting faith. Because if you don't get it, you're not going nowhere. It's just not going to happen. I mean, it's like trying to drive a car without fuel. It doesn't work. Trying to have a car that'll start without a battery. Without faith, nothing's going to happen. And you got to know how to get it. So I'm convinced a lot of Christians don't know that. I'm convinced they really, I mean, I've run into people over the years, so I never knew that faith come by hearing. I thought you had to pray for it. I thought you had to fast for it. I thought you had to work for it. I've heard all kinds of statements like that. And it just goes to show the ignorance and the lack of understanding of what the Bible says. Because they're supposed to exercise faith, the way that I see it, because God really places the burden upon us to do that, to believe, to trust in Him, to put our confidence in Him. And so they don't know how to get it. They don't know how to exercise it. They don't know how to what to do when trouble comes when they believe God for something. If a trial comes, they don't know how to endure. They don't know what a test of faith is. They don't understand those things. And all of that becomes a real big obstacle in a whole lot of people's life. And so what do you know about faith? Because you really start with Hebrews 11, 1. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for. So substance is a word that is important because we know that substance is talking about an underlying reality. Something that is an actuality. And so faith is something in a person's heart that he believes that God has said something, and he has an exact image in his heart of what God has said. So that's why a lot of times you look at the promises and you begin to develop a mental picture of what God is saying. Back in the old days when we would believe in God for a lot of things, we believe God for a car or a van or something, you get a picture and put it up on your visor, your old car. Look at it a lot. Think about it a lot. I'm going to get me a new van. I'm going to believe God for that. Because I want to, I was just cultivating something. Because God promised me I could have better. I wasn't trying to be, you know, anything but what God promised to me. I was content with what I had, but I could have better. Because I knew that wasn't going to last forever. It might take you 5 or 6 years to believe God for it to happen anyways. By that time, the other one would be worn out. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. But substance is something that a lot of people don't understand what Hebrews 11 is saying. Because it's like looking at a reflection a lot of times. Because this word is reflecting to us what eternity says is ours. And we live down here in this natural plane and we look at the circumstances all the time. We don't really have an image in our heart of what God says. You look in the mirror, you see a reflection of yourself. But when you look in that mirror, all what you're seeing, it's real. It's just as real as it can be. You can touch the mirror, but you can't feel yourself touching yourself. But you're there. It's an image. And that's what faith is. That's the kind, it's a foundational thing. It's just something deep and underlying. And it's all about what you hope for. Because faith is the substance of the things that you hope for, confidently expect for. If hope is something that's in the head and faith is in the heart. Then he says it's the evidence of things not seen. Now that's hard for a lot of people because if you see it, you don't need faith for it. But if you don't see it, you do need faith for it. Thus, we have to have faith for the resurrection, faith for the rapture, faith for healing, faith for prosperity. Things that you don't see, you can believe God for if it's promised in the Bible. And what you do is you look in the Bible and you see Mark 11:24, therefore, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. Notice there's a difference there between believe that you've received them and then you shall have them. Because it's a difference in receiving something by faith and then having it manifested to you also in the reality. And people don't understand that. They still seem to struggle with that simple little thing that's in the Bible over and over again about faith. So what do you know about it? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. In Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, Habakkuk 2:4, and Galatians 3, verse 11, and Hebrews 10:38, all say the just shall live by faith. The righteous man will live by his faithfulness, is another way of saying it. So if you're right with God, you're going to live by being faithful to him, is what God says. Because faith also deals not only with the promises, but God's commands. If God says something, I believe it, and I act like that, then that shows that I have faith in what I have read. So we come back to exercise faith that pleases God. We've got to know about it. We've got to know how it works. We've got to know what the obstacles are. We've got to know what the trials are, that you know what they're all about. And they're not something that really there to harm our faith as much as it is to strengthen our faith. We've got to know how to endure by faith, and fight by faith, and stand by faith. So how does faith come? I've wasted enough of my breath there, I guess. Let's go over to Romans chapter 10. Let's go over there, Romans to chapter 10 of just a simple little passage because this is very interesting. Romans chapter 10. That's what we're all about. Well, you know, how does faith come? Romans 10:17. Can you appropriate faith? Can you acquire it? If you don't have it, can you get it? Well, the answer is an absolute yes. And that is good news for somebody that, see, somebody a lot of times people are sick or in poverty, in bad circumstances, and they seem to be in a state of despondency, a despair. They don't see any light. They don't think that they can get out of that. But then when you come to Christ, there's a whole new wide open door to victory in your life. God can heal you. God can provide your needs. God can guide you, can deliver you, restore your life, restore your relationships. God can do anything he promises in the Bible. And they're there for us to ground ourselves in because that's what it's about. It's about getting grounded in God's word. I mean, if a man's not grounded, then, I mean, he's going to get himself in trouble. I mean, I'm talking about having a solid foundation like Matthew chapter 7 says, you know, like the wise man, he dug deep. And when the storms came, what happened? Well, they didn't topple his faith. They didn't overthrow him because he was a wise man. And a wise man is a man who listens to what God has to say and he does something about it. So thus, Romans 10:17. He says to us here, so then, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing by the word. So faith cometh by hearing and believing God's word. Let's just say that. Faith comes by hearing, because it does no good if you don't believe that. And I'll prove that to you in a second. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so can you appropriate it? Yes, you can. Because are we just to live in doubt and fear all of our lives? Are we? Are we to be in that kind of state for the rest of our lives? God saved us, and I said, well, that's just going to have to wait till I take you home or till the rapture comes. Poor little me. Or does God say that we can fight and have victory in our life? See, and so it's a question, do we have to have this doubt and the fear and uncertainty? Or can we have certainty? Can we have some assurance of those things hoped for? Evidence of things unseen? Can we have that in our lives? I believe absolutely we can, because God has ordained that we can. I mean, it's a certainty that God would do what he said he'd do. I mean, God demands that we have faith, and why would he demand we have faith and then not let us be able to get it? Because he says, you know, where's your faith at? Why is it that you have no faith? You know, where is your faith? Oh, you little faith. And he says all these things, and then he says, trust me. Put some confidence in me. And so we've all struggled with faith. Have you ever struggled with that? Ever struggled in some situation when you found yourself in a difficult, hard, you know, bleak situation, and you thought, man, you just start to have their yammies, you know, you start to cry, and blah, 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 you know. And it's like God just all of a sudden, just in a moment, says, stop. Quit acting like a baby. Drink some milk, because that's all this is. Right? So, I can receive faith for whatever God has promised. Often people say, I know that if I had faith, God would hear me, but I don't know how to get it. Well, you got a good response there. I know that God would hear me if I had faith. But let me tell you something. You can't have it. All you got to do is you got to start reading this word, because faith will come by hearing. It's not just reading it as much as it is hearing. Hearing is a very important thing as far as I'm concerned. And so we find ourselves a lot of times in situations where God can provide our need. And I think it was John Bunyan that said something about in the slough of despond, he called it a very dark and lonely valley of despair. To be in the darkness is not a good thing. People who are in that kind of situation, and then there seems to be no hope for deliverance, no hope for healing in their body, no hope for any restoration in a relationship that's going south. There's no hope. That's a bad place to be. That's darkness. But the good news is, Psalms 119, verse 105, if it's still in the Bible, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Isn't it? And what does a lamp do? What does a light do? It illuminates the pathway. When you go out in the darkness sometimes, I mean, you need sometimes more than others. I mean, depends on the cloudiness or the full moon or no moon. You need a light. And that light shows you the pathway. And you got a bright light. They got them even getting brighter and brighter. They flash them and go almost 200, 300 yards now. Real bright. I mean, they're getting them pretty bright. They got them so bright they can blind you if you put them in somebody's eyes. And so light is a good thing. Because you know what? When we're in the darkness, we're not going to receive anything. When a man's blind to the truth and he's just shut off from really what God will do, what God has said, he doesn't have anything but despair, and he's blind and he's in the dark. And it tells us a lot in the Bible. We know the 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the devil's blinded their minds. And if he blinds a person's mind, it means they're in the dark. He's got scales over their eyes. It's hard to see a lot of things that the Bible says. I'm not going to argue that case. It's a struggle for some people more than others. It just depends on that individual's lifestyle, some of the things that they're in, the difficulties they're in their life. And so the Bible also says the entrance of his words giveth light and understanding to the simple. So light can come just like faith can come. And when light comes, it opens up a whole new world, because you see something illuminated. That's the concept behind that whole thing of light. So Hebrews 10:17, the only source that we have by faith coming is the word of God. So we can see that faith will come. Comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word for hearing there is the Greek word be akou, A-K-O-E. I think it's the way it's in the Greek, transliterated. but it's also akin to akouo, A-Q-U-O-U-O, something like that. And interesting, this word means to, you know, it has to do with the faculty of hearing. But akouo goes more to the fact of one who is attentively listening and considering what's being said to obey it. And you think about that for a while. Listening to something attentively in order to apply it to your life, because instruction is good to have. If somebody calls you up and wants directions to your place and you give them the instructions, and then you find out that they call you back three times and says, I'm lost. You ever had that happen? It's like you want to tell them, you know what, why don't you pay attention when I'm telling you the directions? So when you give people directions, a lot of times you like to try to maybe give them a certain little signs of where they might be at. Like they come out to my house and I say, well, you'll come past Patrick Henry High School. That's not hard to miss. And then you'll come across the South Anna River. Can't miss that unless you're blind. And there'll be a sod farm on your right. And from there, it's 2 miles to King Road, turn left. That's not difficult, is it? But if you're not paying attention, you get lost, and that means you were not paying attention. You just heard me, blah, 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 blah. And a lot of times you're distracted. I know people, somebody, maybe the kids are crying and everything else, but you ought to just take a time to write it down or, you know, get it right or repeat it back. Sometimes I had to say, repeat that back to me. Well, you said go down to Ashland, take a left on the railroad road, track road. I didn't. I said go straight. You know, sometimes people just don't get it. And the same way it is with the Word of God. I mean, I've seen it happen so many times. I give a title of the message, and they said, I taught on something else than I taught on. The title's completely twisted and distorted because they heard what something else. How does something like that happen? I know why, but do you? There's a lot of reasons for that. Because you're thinking about something else. Mind's not paying attention to what's going on. And that's probably part of the problem, big problem in a lot of people's lives. There's no argument about it whatsoever. So Romans 10:17 means you have the source, the reservoir of living water. It's everything that you need. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there's a source there. It's available. It's not something that's hidden. It's not something, I mean, everybody in America can have a Bible. It used to be one of the most popular books ever that was, you know, I'm sure it still is. I don't know. I don't know what else would be next to that. And so it's available to you. So we must understand what it means by hearing. How can I hear what the Bible says to me personally if I'm not personally exercising my faculty to hear? How can I hear? Have you ever read the Bible and listened to music at the same time? Have you read the Bible and somebody else was talking to you at the same time? Let's be honest. I mean, a lot of times you find the kids are trying to do that when they do homework. They're sitting there listening to music, trying to do the homework. That's why they fail a lot today, I guess, because trying to do two things at one time, you can't do that. But the Bible is a supernatural book. I mean, that's just a basic fundamental that we all should understand. It's not just another book that some man has written. This is inspired scripture that God has given us. It's spiritual, it's eternal, it's unchanging, it's permanent. And what God has said will happen. I mean, all the prophecies in the Bible, God has spoken these through various different men. And a lot of the prophecies have already been fulfilled and more yet to be fulfilled. And it's an amazing thing to look at that because God has said those things. If God has spoken prophecies, whether it be over Israel or other things that you see that has, you know, the coming of the Lord, all the things, how he would be crucified, 30 pieces of silver, he'd be betrayed. All those things were prophesied, and they all fulfilled, every one of them, every jot tittle of them. Now, that to me just enhances the power of God's word. And if God has said those things and prophesied them and came to pass, how much more will these promises be true to us also? Because this is not something we just look at and say, well, I know my father promised me something, but he never done it. Well, the Heavenly Father is not like an earthly father or mother. Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it, shall he not do it? That's Numbers 23:19. What God has said, he will do. He's faithful to watch over it. And see, we just have a hard time grasping that, don't we? Let's be honest and admit it. We have a hard time really taking hold of that, especially when we don't feel good, we got a headache, or something else is going on in our life. I'm not talking about somebody being a headache, but I'm talking about you having a headache. And so let's let's take this a minute. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Because I just noticed something over here that I think is interesting and hopefully helpful. Hebrews chapter 4. Now we know the account here in Hebrews 3 and 4. What was the problem with Israel? Unbelief. And what was the problem? Why did they have unbelief? Something was wrong. Because he tells them in chapter 3 and verse 15, or verse 7, he says, "Wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice." Okay? God was trying to get their attention to listen to him. Verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. So God was trying to get them to hear him. Wasn't he? Listen to me. He's saying, listen to me. I'm saying something to you. And then down chapter 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, that any of us should seem to come short of it. In other words, I don't want to come short of the goal, do you? Okay. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, I'm going to read it a little bit and try to read it in Greek a little bit. For unto us was the gospel evangelized, because that's what the word, the good news came. That's what he's talking about. As well as unto them. But the word akouo, the word heard, did not profit them. So that second word, preach, is a different Greek word. It's the word akouo. It didn't profit them. It didn't benefit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that akouo heard it. So it's telling us something here that something was said, but they didn't consider it, give audience to it, exercise the faculty of hearing, and pay attention. And the word mixed could be translated, did not, you know, being not united with faith in them that heard it. Like in hearing, they didn't hear. Has that ever happened to you? You've seen it happen to your children. Your children seen it happen to you when they talk to you. Well, I told you, Mom. I told you, Dad. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. You know how that goes. No, you didn't. Yes, you did. Argument. Every husband and wife's had that one. You want to deny that? Every parent child's had that argument. I said it. No, you didn't. You said it. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. No, you didn't. It goes on like that. But God said it. I never heard it. How's that going to go on Judgment Day? It ain't going to work. It won't fly. So here's the problem right here, folks, is that it has to do with hearing. Considering what God is saying. You know, a lot of times people don't want to consider what you say. You can look at a picture from the big debate today in the political realm, the conservative liberals. A lot of people don't want to hear what the other side has to say. They don't. They've already made their minds up. It's all set and sealed and done. That's the way a lot of liberals are. It's done. It's sealed in stone, buddy. You're wrong. And they want to, you know, hurl all these names at you and put you down and mock you and laugh at you and try to destroy you. And the same way, same thing happens with people in the church. Get the same attitude when it comes to hearing what God has to say through his word, using the fivefold ministry or whatever. I just don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear it. That's really the bottom line. You know what I think the problem is? A hard heart, just like you said in chapter 3. So let's go over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, yeah, we're still up there. I got a lot of in between there, don't I? Proverbs chapter 4. Well, you never know what's going to happen. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse. Now here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 and following, guess what we have? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We have the instruction right here. If we apply these principles, we'll see that it will work for us. So here are the directions on how to hear and to get faith. First thing he says is, my son. Now I know that don't offend you daughters out there, because the Bible speaks in the masculine sense a lot of times, because that's the way God designed it to be. In spite of all the feminists who want to change that. So my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart. Why? For they are life unto all those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it all the issues of life. And there we have some instruction. So let's take that instruction right there and look at it. So, I mean, you got to, my son, I take that very personally because he's saying specifically and personally, my son, my children, my people, if you'll hear my voice and do what I say. So let's look at that. First thing he's got there, whoops, is attend. My son, attend. What are you going to attend to? Whose words? And where's God's word at? It's in the Bible. Do you have a Bible? So everybody's got a Bible. So the word attend, when we look at that word, I call it the art of attentive listening. Now that is not something we're all good at doing because we don't pay attention. The Bible tells us to be slow to speak and swift to, that's in James, right? So a lot of times, I think what James is saying there in that particular passage, while you're trying to say something, they're speaking in their heart, I don't believe none of that. The blah blah is going on inside of them. And it blocks out God's, because it says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. They're building up an argument. They think you're saying something, they've got insecurities or whatever, or trying to twist what you're saying, and they just won't receive what you have to say. So do you give undivided attention to God's word? We know that they're distractions. I mean, Lord knows that I'm here. A lot of times kids and crying and whatever might take place and back in a nursery. I mean, that could be a real problem back there because it's just, you know, a lot going on. It's not my fault. You got married and had children. That's what you wanted to do. I mean, don't blame it on me. You say, well, why don't these young people just go back here and take care of his kids and let us come back and listen? So you would steal the word from them so you could get it. Is that fair? You're the one who got married and had babies, not them. All right, so it's a different way of looking at it. Everybody's got their viewpoint again. But see, that's your responsibility. And all of you seem to have gone through it pretty well. Overcome a lot, probably, didn't you? Because you learned how to exercise your faith. That's a good thing. So here we see it's a concentration on God's word when you read it. An undivided attention. That's the way I look at this here, because we look at that word attend, I mean, it just has to do with really giving yourself to it. Not letting anything stand in the way to distract you. Have you ever been distracted? You know what I'm talking about. That's what it's all about. So attend means, in one Hebrew definition of a dictionary, prick up your ears. You ever watched a dog? A lot of times, different dogs, and you see, I mean, my dog was out there the other day. I was walking out there, and he's sitting there. And I saw a rabbit sitting over there. I looked at him, he just kind of looking around. He did blind as a bat. I just looked at that rabbit over there, and I looked at him, and I said, rabbit over there. Kept looking at him. And he just looked. I finally went, pointed over. He watched my hand. I pointed over, and his ears pricked up. He took off after the rabbit. Rabbit got away. I knew it would. But it just, you know, a lot of times when you don't really, you have a dog sometimes, and you just see his ears will prick up sometimes. He's listening, he's hearing something. You don't know what he can hear better than you can. They got some pretty good ears. And that's what God is saying to us as human beings, that, you know, pick up your ears here a little bit and listen, give audience. Same thing as the New Testament saying. I mean, consider what I'm saying. You can't consider what somebody's saying if you're not paying attention. That happens in schools a lot of time where somebody's trying to teach somebody something, it's a lot of distraction, or people just sleeping in school and not taking notes or whatever it may be. Same thing in church. But how much distractions come your way when you're reading? I mean, when you're trying to absorb something. Have you ever been really into something and all of a sudden the phone starts ringing? Or somebody, the kids start hollering, or a fight breaks out in the home, or something goes on crazy? And you're distracted, you got to stop what you're doing. You think, man, you know, there you go. Well, you know, those distractions are going to come. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 10. Jeremiah says something that's relevant to all of this. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. They cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Now, that's interesting. So there's something wrong with their hearing ability. I mean, like he said here, he really exposed it because the word of the Lord unto them is a reproach. They disregard it, have no respect for it whatsoever. So they can't listen nor obey. So when he's saying here, attend, he's saying paying attention. Listen up. Give me your ear. Sometimes you have to say that to people when you're talking. You see them being distracted or something, you say, y'all pay attention to what's being said. Go along in your Bible. Take some notes with that. So communication, I think, is the most single important subject matter as far as this world is concerned, whether it's in the home or in the church or in the political arena. I mean, wars have been started by words that men have spoken. People have killed over words. You know that. I mean, if you paid any attention to what's going on, I mean, you notice, look how the news media can take words and begin to stir up things and distract people. And all these distracting voices and multiple different things being said. Well, this was reported, and this was said, and this was reported. I heard this, and this is the latest report. And you think, it's all messed up and confused. Nobody knows anything. Sometimes I think that's the way they want it to be. But you know that takes place. So this is a spiritual warfare. To be able to, you know, give ear to what God is saying, to get still and to give an undivided attention to something. My wife pulls that on me a lot. She'll come upstairs and say, I got to talk to you. I'm on my computer. I'm typing notes, trying to. She said, I'm not going to say another word until you put that, stop that and look at me. I said, well, I can hear what you're saying. Well, she says, no, you don't. You don't pay attention. She come up there as a switch. No, she doesn't. But, you know, I understand that sometimes, but it's the truth, though. Sometimes we just don't pay attention. And that, therefore, we don't get what's being said, and it's something that's very important. And you go away, and she said, well, did you get that when I told you? I said, well, you never told me that. I did so. I told you that. You were on that computer typing, not paying attention to me. And that happens a lot of times with God, I think, too, also, because of distractions. The more you're distracted, the worse it's going to be. You can be hindered. So how are you going to get faith in? So in order to appropriate faith, you've got to do something about it. I mean, like in the New Testament, Luke chapter 10, verse 38, in the context, we have the Martha and Mary situation. One thing's needed and will not be taken away from. One thing is important and useful here. And Mary it has it and will not be taken away from her. She sat down at the feet of Jesus and listened to what he said. She wasn't going to be distracted. Martha was encumbered and distracted by all the working and the doing. But it was a time here for Bible study. This was a time not to be distracted by everything. Time just to put up all your, you know, whatever you're doing. Sit it down. Be still. Wait on the Lord. Listen. That's such a hard thing to do today. And then people wonder why they don't have faith, or something comes up, a trial the next day, and they wonder why, you know, they didn't do too well. I wonder why they didn't do too well. Well, it's because you weren't paying attention to what God was saying to you. I've said this before many times. I mean, it was a revelation to me when I found it in Exodus 15:26, if thou wilt diligently hearken. And the Hebrew says, in listening, listen. It's really telling you something. In listening, listen. Because people in listening do not pay undivided attention. They really don't. It goes over their head or it gets by them. They miss a word. They miss a sentence. Things become distracting. That's why I put less on this board so it wouldn't be distracting you. I noticed I'm watching y'all out there, and I've seen people going ahead of me. They're writing it all down. Okay, I figured I said I'll just make it a little, stretch it out a little longer. Have more slides. That way you can't get ahead of me and be distracted. Because you miss a lot doing that. You really do. So we know that our emotions can be in a way, and our feelings can be in a way, and all kinds of things can come in. You know, all it takes is some little, you know, somebody to scream or to holler or to yell or thunder start lightning, hail come down. I mean, everybody looks out of the way. You know, the other church, the way that door was set up here, I mean, every time that door opened up, every head went like that. So I had to repeat myself. Somebody, why do you repeat yourself so much? Because the door keeps opening. So there is reasons for all of that. And so if we listen with our emotions and we listen with our feelings, we're not going to really set aside part of everything. It says, lay aside all filthiness and naughtiness and receive with meekness and grace. There's things that got to be set aside in our life. So you see a good example, I think, in Matthew chapter 15 with this Syrophoenician woman. When Jesus told that woman it was not meant to give to the dogs the children's bread, you remember that story? That would offend most people. We know that. But it didn't offend her. something about that heart here that really draws my attention. Because something would offend one person, won't offend another. And what doesn't offend some people does offend other people. And you begin to wonder, what's going on here? And so she wasn't listening with her feelings. She wasn't letting her emotions stand in the way. She wasn't letting anything as far as her own circumstances or problem, because it's all, I want my daughter healed. She was focused. She had her attention on something that she was going after and wasn't going to let anything get in the way of obtaining it. And so when we come to the Lord and we allow something like that to get in our way, we're going to find ourselves tripping up a lot. And people do that. They trip up a lot. Deuteronomy chapter 30. You go over here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, because this is a takeoff of Romans chapter 10 uses this in the context if you read the whole thing. And so here we are in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us up to heaven to bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is what? Very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. Apply it. See, I've set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes, his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land where thou go to possess it. So God means good for us. But listen to the warning in verse 17. But if thy heart turn away, if thy heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods or idols and serve them, I denounce unto thee this day that you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth unto thee to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. So back at verse 17. See, I've said this so many times. The thing that happens when you turn your heart away, it starts in the heart. You lose the ability to hear. That, you know, if a person loses the ability to hear in the natural realm, that's a devastating thing. He's got to start learning a whole new way of being able to correspond, to communicate to other people. It's going to take time. He's going to miss a lot. And when you lose the ability to hear spiritually, you're going to go downhill. You're not going to do very well. And so hearing is the most valuable thing we have in receiving faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God in Proverbs 4 says, attend unto my word. Attend to those. And so here we see the ability to hear is the most important requirement to receiving faith. If you turn your heart away, and that means something is going on inside of you that doesn't agree with what's being said because you don't like God's word or you don't like the person. I don't know whichever it is. But if he's speaking the word, I don't care if it's a monkey up there going like this. If he's saying what God said, you better take heed to it because God's going to hold you accountable. That's where the bottom line is. So, like, you know, Proverbs 28:9 says, if you man turns away his heart from the hearing of the law, even his prayers shall be an abomination. You turn your heart away from the hearing of the law. Now, why would somebody do that? Why would somebody begin to turn away and go in another direction? Huh? Because something's not right in the heart. And it's always that. I mean, with sin in the heart, sin, I've said this so many times, sin distorts what God is saying. Sin sees things in a different viewpoint because it's blinded by its sin. And I know that's true. And so, Proverbs chapter 4. Next thing he says, incline thy ear. Incline thy ear. And so I believe this has to do with a humble reception of God's word. Humility is a big thing. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. This is a teachable individual. Incline thy ear. And to incline means to bow, to decline. That's what God wants us to do. Kind of lay down your whole attitude, preconceived notions, your prejudice. I mean, set them aside a moment. Before you go off getting mad at something that God has to say in principle. That's what happens a lot of times. So I don't believe it. What does the word say it? I don't care what the word says. Now you're really getting proud and arrogant. You're getting stiff-necked, and you're going to find yourself in a problem. So this is a person that will be willing to bow down himself to hear what God has to say. It means to yield. I mean, the word here is describing an attitude, incline. And this is being teachable, humble person, willing to, what does God have to say about that? You know, you take, for example, marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Hot potato. Ain't no argument about it. But if a person comes here and I say something about it, 9 times out of 10, they're going to shut me off. They're going to turn their ear away. They're going to turn their heart away. Why? Why would they do that? Does anybody know? Because they have preconceptions about what they believe. That's why they turn you off. They turn away. They're not willing to hear what you have to say and then evaluate it based upon what the Word says and look at what they've been told all their life and come to an honest conclusion. That's too hard for them because they're engrossed in their sinful state now. And I mean, the same thing with holidays and all the paganism and tradition today. They're not willing to hear what you say. They have preconceived ideas about you, about the subject of the various different holidays, and that's the problem. So you turn the heart, and this word here can mean to turn the heart in certain directions, to sin or to righteousness. Turn the heart. Now, why would somebody turn their heart in the direction to sin? Unless there's something inclined in them that they don't want to incline to God. It's something that's opposite inside of them. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." So we have to lay aside our pride. We have to lay aside our prejudice, our preconceptions. And if we don't lay them aside, then we're going to find ourselves in a whole lot of trouble before it comes down. I mean, because didn't Solomon turn away his heart from God to strange women? There was something in him and inclined him in that direction, not to God. What would that be? Lust. Samson, same way. So there's something that can be there that causes a person just to turn away from God because of something in their heart. It's the same thing today. If I mention a certain thing right away, they turn me off. Why? It's because they're not willing to just, wait a minute, just rest your brain a minute and your argument and your anger. Set it on the table a minute. Set your emotions aside. Listen to what he has to say. Evaluate. That's all you got to do. And see what you come up with. You still come up with the same conclusion? That's your business. But at least consider what God has to say. Because that's what a kuo means, to consider what he's being said. With a good intention, no doubt. Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah 55, verse 3. Talking about everyone that thirsts and come to the waters, have no money to come and buy, eat without money, without price. Verse 3 says this, because he's telling you here to come and to eat that which is good. That's spiritual food. But what does he say? Incline your ear and come unto me, hear and your soul shall live. Only if you hear them. I mean, here with the concept behind hearing is not just you heard a noise. You heard words and syllables, but you weren't able to. This has a context of being able to comprehend what you're hearing, to understand what you're hearing. And if you comprehend it and understand it, that means you're going to begin to do it. That's what's behind this whole thing. And so he says, this is what you're going to, if you incline your ear, you come unto me, you hear, your soul shall live. James says the same thing. Lay apart all those things and receive with meekness and grafted word, which is able to save your soul. So the modern King James Version says here, bow down your ear, which means humble yourself. Don't be so smart aleck. To incline is to humble yourself, to have a teachable attitude. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 23, it's used. Just looking at this whole thing, because my goal here is just to say, faith comes, folks. But it's going to cost you to get it. Joshua 24, verse 23. And Joshua said unto the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord, to serve him? And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. So he put away those things and incline your what? Your heart unto the Lord. And here the concept behind that is to be loyal and to set your mind towards a certain direction. So what direction would you go here? Well, you turn away and forsake all those strange gods. That's the context of it all. So he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Lord has to say. Even in Psalms 119, I think it is, in verse 36, David says something about incline your heart to the word and not covetousness. So you see a lot of times that there are things that people's hearts are turned in the wrong direction. It's don't go that direction, go this direction. Because it's always about turning in a certain direction, one way or the other, good or evil. You know, a lot of times I think people are going in the wrong direction, and therefore a lot of trouble comes into their life. Another thing in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 and following, it says, let them not depart from thy eyes. And I take that as a single eye. Having a single eye. That's a hard thing for a lot of people to have. Focus. Not seeing with any sense of, you know, if the eye is diseased, it can't focus very well. It's a hard time seeing very clear. We all know it maybe have some trouble sometimes focusing or seeing things. I see y'all squinting. So we may have some problems like that. So we know what we're talking about, a spiritual thing here, having a single eye towards the Lord, where you're not inclined to any deception, duplicity, nothing, no guile. Just a single, simple eye on the Lord and what he has to say. You're nothing in your way whatsoever. And so in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, this comes up. And it's very interesting what he says. Verse 22 of Matthew 6, the light of the body is what? The eye. And therefore, the eye be single, the whole body should be full of what? Now, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? So here we're talking about single. It's not seeing double. When you look at something, you see double. It's like it's some kind of problem in your eyes. You look at your dog, you see three dogs. You look at somebody and you see two people. Then that's what we're talking about. We're talking about something very clear. So it's without God. It's without anything that's deceptive or corrupt whatsoever. And single, it's talking about, one Greek says, steady, directed to one object, not confused as a person's eyes are when they're double. A single eye of faith, focusing on the Lord, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. I don't think we have that in our lives, that where we are really, there's too many things that get in our way that aren't single-minded. To make church more important than anything else, to make our time with God and with fellowship more important than anything else. I mean, to some people, anything that comes up, it's just like, well, no big deal. Well, to some people it is. And you contrast that with an evil eye. Because he says this in the next verse, in verse 23. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of what? Darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So it's all about what's coming in, because the Word of God brings light to you. And if your eyes, you know, diseased, or if your mind or your heart's corrupted to changing what God says and you twist it to your own destruction, you're going to get in trouble. So the results of a single eye is the body will be full of light, as it says. Your heart's going to be full of light. That's what's going to happen. Now, I'm going to talk about moral light. Look at Psalms 43 in verse 3. Psalms 43 and verse 3. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me unto the holy hill and to thy tabernacle. So send out thy light and thy truth. Let them what do what? They're going to lead me. So that's what's important here. So we're looking back here at this whole thing. Attend, incline, a single eye. And the result is light and truth begin to come into a person's life. And that light illuminates my pathway. It's a light unto my path. That's what the Bible says. Well, then it goes on another thing in Proverbs 4. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Standing guard, because keep means guard. You have to stand guard at what you have. Don't let anything come into you. I mean, it's like having a guard outside the building. Don't let anybody come in that is an intruder or a thief or somebody you don't want in here. Sometimes they have that in some places. But, you know, when we were up in Washington a while back, we went around by the FBI building. They had guards all around outside. Now, you're not going to let anybody through there that don't want in there. And so what he's telling you to guard, keep in the midst of the heart. Once you have the word there, you got to keep it. You think, well, I've got all I need. You don't think the devil can't rob? Doesn't Matthew 13, in the context, verse 19, and says it in Mark 2, it says that the devil cometh immediately to take away the word that was sown? That's a warfare. Because the devil doesn't want you to get it. The devil doesn't want you to understand it. He doesn't want you to comprehend it. He doesn't want you to absorb that word because he knows you'll become a force against him. And you'll be able to combat him and to overcome him. And so how do we keep it in the heart? I think that's a big deal because I think it goes back to meditation. You don't just meditate to get it, but you meditate on it after you've got it to keep it also. And so that's very important because you're meditating on God's word day and night. Now we have this very clearly to us when we look over in Psalms 1. We know what it says. The school there just briefly, we were not just 40-some chapters away. Blessed is a man that walketh not, so there's a negative side, in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, we would be able to define who they are very clearly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So that's what he's saying there. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, what does he do? He meditates day and night. Now, what is the results of all that? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In other words, he'll be fruitful. But the ungodly are not so. As he goes on to say later on in verse 4 and 5, they're not so. So the ungodly, just they don't get it. So here we have here that, you know, in Joshua 1:8 too, he told him, he said, if you will take this word to meditate on it day and night, to observe, to do according to all that I've written in there, then your way shall be prosperous, you'll have good success. So he told Joshua. Did Joshua succeed? Did Joshua conquer the land? Was he a good leader? Yes, he was, because he did what God told him to do, and because of that, it worked for him. So to hear implies you have to, you know, listen to what God is saying. And this is the word meditation means to mutter, to speak to yourself. Sometimes you might be, somebody might think you're crazy, but you can read the word to yourself. Just sit there and read it out loud to yourself. Mutter it, speak it, listen to it on a tape. Some people, they have the Bible on tape now, or somebody just reading through the Bible. Only one I ever, Alexander Scorby, I guess they're still out there. He's got other people now. They got a little, I don't know, I think they're a little soft. But anyways, let's turn back to Isaiah 55 because Isaiah chapter 55, there's something here that we must see. Verse 6 says, seek the Lord. Verse 7, let the wicked do what? Forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts. So your way and your thoughts, because one produces the other. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him to our God, for us, for he will abundantly pardon. I like that. Now here comes the big part. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Now this, God doesn't change, folks. And my ways and your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. I think one way, you think another. I go one way, you go another. We're different. But God does not change. But he goes on to say this. Listen very carefully. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So what's he saying? He said, well, we all know the rain comes down, the snow on the mountains, and then that begins to melt and it just comes down in the rivers and creeks on into the bigger, you know, to the river, or to the bay, to the ocean. And it makes everything fertile. So he's saying right here in this context, next verse 11, why he said verse 10, so shall my word be. It'll be like the water. It'll be like the rain. God's word will be like that. He'll bring the word, so shall my word go forth out of my mouth. Okay? Every prophecy that's come out of God's mouth has been fulfilled that we know of, except, you know, what's pertaining to the last days. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. It's not going to accomplish what you please, but what God pleases and what he sent it to do. And then you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. That's similar to Romans, you know, to be joy and peace in believing. Because a man believes it's going to begin to happen to him. But look at verse 11. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So what's he saying there? Well, I think he's saying this is the results of the water coming down, the briar. I think the thorns and briar typify our thoughts and our ways that are contrary to God. If God's water comes down like rain and begins to refresh us and renew us, we'll begin to bring forth something that buds, that's fruitful, and God will begin to see, then he'll be blessed. I think that's exactly what this is saying to us. It's a very clear picture. So I think we're dependent on God to speak to us and to guide us. You have to hear what God is saying in order for it to really bring forth results into your life. I mean, God will speak to all of us through his word. I've heard people say God spoke to me about something, but a lot of times when people say that, it's a religious spirit. Not always, but a lot of times it is, because God only speaks in line with his word. And sometimes people are seeking a certain way, and they want it so bad, you can have dreams. Your mind can really play with you if you're not careful. And the devil will use that stuff to get people off a wrong track. Go back and see what the word says. Wait on the Lord. Test it. Test these spirits and see if they be of God. Be very careful. Because they go off and they begin to do wrong things and not hearing from God. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing what God's word says. Can God give a dream? Can God give a vision? Absolutely. But he'll confirm it with his word at the same time. And so it all gets down to this. As we receive God's word, it's going to bring forth fruit. But we got to be willing to hear it first and let it affect our thinking, let it affect our thoughts and our ways. If we don't do that, all we're doing is just letting it come in one ear and go out the other. There's no meaning, there's no comprehension or understanding of what God is saying to you as a person, how he wants you to live your life and to cause his thoughts to become your thoughts and his ways to become your ways. That's what God wants out of you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And what will he do? He'll direct your paths. That's exactly what God wants us to do. So it all comes back, I think, to the word of God as spirit and its life, but only to those who hunger for it and sincerely desire it. Like Proverbs 8 says, you know, we quoted that a lot of the day, he that finds me finds what? Life. Isn't that what we want? Because faith is life. When it comes to you, that God's speaking to you, this promise is for you. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be in poverty. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to have that guilty mind the rest of your life. You can be forgiven. You can overcome. You can have victory in your life. There's nothing negative about this. It's all good. People say, well, it's negative. It's not negative. It's positive. What's negative is you don't know how to get a hold of it and do something about your life. And you want to blame it on somebody else. But I'm going to tell you what, you make contact with the Lord, and he's the source of life. I'm going to tell you what's going to come out of that. The water's going to come down. It's going to refresh you. And victory's going to come into your life. And that's what we want. You find me, you find life. Back over to Proverbs 4. I missed that one. Sorry about that. Proverbs chapter 4. And what does he say happens here? This is instruction, I think. You take Proverbs 4 with Romans 10, you got what you need. Verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health or medicine is what it says in your margin there, more than likely. Medicine to what? All their flesh. So there you go. Life and medicine. What is? God's word is. That means if you can take that, it's going to produce the results. Do you believe that? I do. So this is the beginning of it. This is where faith comes from. And if you're willing to give your heart to it, folks, you got some troubles in your life or difficulties, pick up your Bible, find the promises, meditate on them, and apply Proverbs chapter 4, and let God deal with you. Because God's going to show you, with all of these promises, guess what he's going to show you? Some conditions. And God's going to test you. There's going to be a time element involved, but all of that is a part of the package. But if you stay faithful, you'll come out on the other side of this whole thing, blessed with abundance, guaranteed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word that's eternal and unchanging. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us as your people to continually prod us and challenge us in this life We thank you that you care about our souls, about our eternal well-being. And we ask you, Lord God, not to be slack concerning anything that we may need in life. Whatever it is that we need, we pray, Lord God, that you would speak to our hearts through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, that you would correct us and challenge us to stay on the narrow pathway and not to look to the left nor to the right, but to keep our eyes single and upon you through all of the difficulties of life, knowing that if we do this, that we're going to see the fruit of our faith and the faithfulness of God. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in the name of Jesus.